Good evening, friends. We welcome you to a lecture being given by Nathaniel Ridgway White of Rumson, New Jersey, a public practitioner of Christian Science in the New York City area, and a member of the Board of Lectureship of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Our speaker will be remembered as Nate White, who for several years was business and financial editor of the Christian Science Monitor, an international daily newspaper, for which his articles won 4 awards. This work required travel throughout the nation, continental Europe, and the Soviet Union. From 1942 to 46, he saw duty in the Pacific as a reserve officer in the United States Navy. A lifelong Christian Scientist, alert to the complexities of today's living, Mr. White is well equipped to reassure us of God's control, his subject being the continuity of good. Let us welcome Mr. White.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Hansen, for the gracious welcome to me and to our lovely audience in this perfectly beautiful church here on Huntington Avenue in San Marino. It is just one of the most exquisite structures that I've had the privilege of being in. Your committee is to be, and your members, commended for the magnificent harmony of this beautiful building. And of course, we're grateful to you, Mrs. Alice Watson, for that lovely musical prelude on the organ. And we're grateful, too, to you people of the KLAC audience. In the next few minutes together, we're going to be discussing the various cycles in the human scene. The health cycle, the business cycle, protest cycle, strike cycle. But behind it all, let's bear in thought the overall tender individual control of Father, Mother, God, divine mind, the cycle of good in our own experience. You know, the ancient preacher of the Bible asked, "What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new?" So the preacher would not have been surprised at the way we still cling, even in this age of scientific achievement and exploration, to many of our outgrown beliefs and superstitions. Especially to the superstition that our lives are inevitably controlled by alternating cycles of good and evil. This superstition that our lives are under the inevitable control of alternating cycles of evil and good should have been terminated centuries ago. By some 1900 years ago, John, the beloved disciple of our dear Master, Christ Jesus, gave us the answer. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We dwell in love, not in cycles of doubt and fear. When we ourselves love, then God, ever-present love, dwells in us. We dwell in the inner stillness of divine love, the secret sanctuary of the Most High. When we ourselves love, then God, ever-present love, dwells in us. Love is not far away. Love is here. Love is individually ours. Love never fails. Love never changes. Love is not cyclical. But the human scene changes. It often seems to be just the opposite of ever-present love. Hardness of the world sometimes seems to leave love out. Hunger for affection goes unrequited. God's tender ever-presence and love's individual care sometimes seem far away. The human story abounds with tragedy, darkened with disappointment, clouded with fear, filled too often with superstition. Why, sometimes we're almost afraid to be happy. This superstition, good promptly reversed by evil, characterizes far too much of the human story. I'm sure you've heard it said, why, this is too good to be true. This superstition, which characterizes so much of the human story, stems, of course, from some dark corner of fear within our own consciousness. Surely, we can dispel old fears. This is a scientific age. We ought to be able to dispose of old fears, and with clear eye, scan our problems of today in light of a living understanding that God is divine mind, individually your own mind. Living principle, love, all love. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, the founder of Christian Science, tells us the cycle of good obliterates the epicycle of evil. This fundamental of primitive scientific Christianity, that God is living love, cancels the human superstitions and beliefs in recurrent evil. It ends variance. Christian Science explains how God's constancy, goodness, love, cancel recurrent evil. How the living understanding of divine mind, God alone, and each individual as one spiritual entity absolutely reverses, dispels any argument or superstition in a power unlike itself. How the cycle of good compels the evil epicycle to cease. We all of us have to deal with this human belief in uncertain good and cyclical evil. Christian Science offers us a practical basis for doing this. In her major work, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, which is the Christian Science textbook, Mrs. Eddy tells us, throughout the infinite cycles of eternal existence, spirit and matter neither concur in man nor in the universe. Now, of course, a cycle can be many things. One dictionary defines it as a series of changes, which usually, but not necessarily, leads back to its starting point. The cycle I'm talking about does not lead back to its starting point. I'm not talking about a static, inevitable fatalism. I'm not talking about a kind of numbers game, playing Russian roulette with our lives. Expressed sometimes like this, what's the use of trying to change anything when your number's up, it's up? And I'm sure Mrs. Eddy does not mean any of these things when she speaks of the infinite cycles of eternal existence and the cycle of good that obliterates the epicycle of evil. My concept of cycle, forward movement, in an interesting series of combinations, it's always forward, never reverse. It's always new, perhaps picking up ancient, tried, and true themes, but in new series of combinations as it moves forward. It's action. It moves, sometimes gradually, sometimes slowly, sometimes, if need be, rapidly. As it gains momentum, it includes lights, shades, colors, values, in them. Not something that just repeats itself unchanged or that comes back to its old starting point. Good is constant. Good is firm. Good is intelligent. Good is gentle. Good is always operating, always available, always here. Good is individually ours. Good is all science, all action, all presence, all power. We might say that as we conscientiously learn to dwell in divine love, that goodness and love then radiate from this unity with God, with divine love. And that the cycle of good is gently moving our lives, dispelling, dissolving all that would attempt to operate in reverse. Do you see? Good operates as divine light, as infinite radiancy, which penetrates, pierces, but cannot harm the darkened corners of consciousness. Dispels, dissolves, dislodges the ancient sediments of fear, doubt, superstition. Uproots entrenched illusions, arrogance, pride, conceit, selfishness, lust, infidelity, resentment, the feeling again of ancient and very deeply held old hurts. Bitter, acid rejection of life's joy. And good, having done these marvelous things, dispelled, dissolved, dislodged, and uprooted, then floods these individual corners of consciousness with light, with love, with healing. What do we do then about the human scene, which often seems to be just the opposite? Evil's negations, its reversals, its constant retrogression do at times seem to be inevitable, almost omnipresent. What does Christian Science have to say about destructive forces? Where is the cycle of good in all of this? How can it be said to control our lives? What is the practical effect of the cycle of good? Well, first of all, Christian Science tells us about God. Reveals God to each of us individually as divine mind, our very own mind, living principle, love, all love. And Christian Science tells us that in divine mind control, intimate individually of each of our lives, that this mind is soul, pure soul. Christian Science tells us this love, mind, principle, soul is ours, individually ours, that each of us literally dwells in the center of love, of principle, of mind, of soul. This principle is good itself. This love never turns against individual woman, individual man, but holds its daughter, its son, in constant, undeviating good, good that does not ebb and flow, but that holds. Christian Science tells us, too, that the evil epicycle, the accumulation of all of the human race's belief in evil, in reversal, has absolutely no law, no foundation, no principle. However, it would try to operate, and it certainly does, as mental syndromes, destructive nature, shaking earth, stormy skies, violent mental disease, destructive deterioration of the flesh, paralysis, blindness, senility, dumbness, deafness, death, financial reversals, market ups and downs, accumulations of business inventories and bottlenecks, hijackings, kidnappings, hostage holdings, accidents in fatally repetitive numbers, murders, crime in the streets, protests on campus, violence in parks, stalemates in labor management negotiations, withering health, failing supply, frustrated, upset careers, war every quarter of a century. However it tries to appear, we can bravely and successfully defeat it. We can destroy its evil effects. We must have done with this recurrent superstition that fatalistic, repetitive evil, the so-called numbers game, inevitably, fatally controls our lives. We can do this here, now. So now, let's take a look at some of the various cycles in the human scene. There's one cycle that I've tried to become expert on. The more I try, the less I achieve. I check with my men friends, especially in London, Paris, France, and New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and I've come back with no answers for you, and I presume you're not going to give them to me, and that is, what are you ladies doing, girls, about the hemline cycle? For once, this one is speechless. But now the business cycle. It's a little more in my line. One of the little-known facts about Mrs. Eddy is her early work with business people. She always included business people in her classes on Christian Science because they had somehow found out that if they could understand God as divine mind, living principle, and the operating law of the Christ, that somehow, in some way, their businesses would improve. They certainly found they would be freed from the fears and negative judgments of the business cycle, from ignorant, mistaken, or willful decisions taken apart from God. They found, too, that their lives would be enriched with the graces and qualities of spirit, humility, generosity, unselfishness. Throughout the past 100 years, this living understanding of divine mind's all action in new means and modes of human action has helped business people counteract the negative fears and judgments of the business cycle. A friend of mine had built a successful company over his lifetime, doing major business within the United States and abroad. When I first heard about his business, the economic specialists of the land, of the world, and these lords of economic wisdom, the financial editors of the land, were saying there's a recession on hand, a leveling off, a shakeout, a money crisis, perhaps the necessity for a return to old starting points. My friend, a Christian Scientist of many years standing, accepted the general belief of the business cycle. This has been the longest forward economic expansion in all human history. So it is now time for a leveling off, a shakeout, a crisis, a money crisis, and in too many instances, a painful return to old starting points. And of course, he sank into his own mental depression, and his business began to show substantial loss. He would have gladly sold his business at a sacrifice price after a lifetime of building it to major success for $1.5 million, but there were no buyers. But then, as we say in Christian Science, he began to work. He began to work seriously with the laws of God to handle the situation about his business. He, of course, began to reverse his own mental decisions, his belief in judgments and actions apart from God. He saw again the ancient truths. The divine mind is always active, always on the job, always individually supplying each one the answers each one needs and when needed, here and now. The divine mind is never dull and never stupid and never baffled. The divine mind is always here, actively on the job. He saw again another ancient truth, that he is the son of divine principle, was at absolutely at the source and resources of his being, Divine principle is the source and resources of each individual. Divine principle does not ebb and flow, sometimes weak, sometimes strong. Divine principle maintains its sons, its daughters, in forward momentum, unfolding to each in the terms each one can understand. The ideas, the combination of ideas, the answers or conclusions to any given situation. My friends, saw again another most ancient truth. There's never loss of good. Infinite good, divine good, never runs dry. Can't go thin, never becomes exhausted, certainly cannot be consumed, is always available, never inaccessible, always here. Good is not a process. Good is not a commodity. Good is. My friend saw again another ancient truth, that he is the son of this mind, this principle, includes and participates in all of God's goodness, constantly flowing individually to each one, not just a little. He, of course, made an important master decision. He ceased participating in fear, in the general psychology of the ebb and flow of the business cycle. He accepted his rightful position as a son of divine mind, possessed with all of the intelligence needed to maintain forward momentum. Within a year, his business had made a dramatic turnaround from $500,000 deficit in a year to $500,000 surplus, a turnaround of $1 million in 1 year. And he was offered $6.5 million for his business as against the loss price a year earlier of $1.5 million when there were no buyers. But now, he was sure he did not wish to sell his business. He was having too much enjoyment in the forward movement of his own life, renewed under divine principle. What he had really learned, or relearned, of course, was not how to succeed in business, but how to let his own life unfold in new dimensions of thought and action. All of this, of course, took place for this individual businessman when these lords of economic wisdom were saying there is a recession on hand, a leveling off, a shakeout, and in too many instances, a painful return to old starting points. The case shows how one individual, armed with the living understanding of God as divine mind, individually his own mind, can absolutely counteract, defeat the general beliefs in the ebb and flow, the boom and bust cycle. Why, boom and bust is not inevitable. Evil is never inevitable. Each individual is a full recipient of individual good, not a part-time recipient, a full-time participant in all of divine mind's individual goodness, coming to each one, not a part-time participant. And as a full-time recipient of all individual good, a full-time participant in divine mind's individual fullness, each individual includes and participates in all of the goodness necessary to maintain forward momentum. Why, each individual's life, health, supply, business, careers. These cannot wither away, fade away, diminish. This truth of infinite good, it operates no matter what the entire human scene is picturing. These were never anything more than outgrown beliefs. In her great book, Unity of Good, Mrs. Eddy tells us, the talent and genius of the centuries have wrongly reckoned. They have not based upon revelation their arguments and conclusions as to the source and resources of being, its combinations, phenomena, and outcome, but have built instead upon the sand of human reason. Let us be sure that we do not build our lives upon the sands of human reason. Let us base our lives upon the revealed divine law. The divine mind is your mind. Divine principle is active now in your behalf. The divine love supplies each of you with the answers you need for any given set of conditions. Let us be sure that we do not invest, disinvest, or in any way participate in the general psychology of fear of the ebb and flow cycle. Human fear has never been adequate to foresee, foretell, forecast, or prophesy the individual or the general welfare. As individuals with wisdom directly, individually from God, divine mind, let us refuse to accept outgrown, tired old beliefs about ourselves, our lives, our health, our business, our careers. Why, they never were anything more than beliefs, anyhow. Mind, God, divine mind, expresses each of you, each individual woman and man, in forward progressive momentum, maintaining each of you in progressive unfolding of your own lives in new dimensions of thought and action. This progressive unfolding of all individual good in your own experience is the cycle of good operating in your consciousness, the rhythm of love, the radiance of soul. This participation in good is moment by moment. It's the natural rhythmic development, unfolding of your own lives in exact, intimate response to the all action of God. The very essence of your thought and action, the very fiber of your being, is this moment by moment participation in the divine all action. It's the very opposite of returning to old starting points, isn't it? And we find it through the Christ. An influential committee or group of top American business leaders had long deliberated on policies for the United States to follow. Their work had gone on in this instance for several months, since the President of the United States at that time had been an active member of the group before he entered the White House. It was generally known that he would accept the policies as developed. As a matter of fact, he had asked them to do this specialized research for him. Three members of his cabinet and many of his advisors were formerly active in the group before the administration came into power. In a closing two-day session in New York City, when these policies were under final, careful, pinpoint review, the forces of reaction within the group suddenly and quite unexpectedly won out over the progressive position of the moderates. The action taken would have urged the President of the United States to reverse policies directly which had kept this country moving forward for the entire post-war period, which had kept the entire free world moving forward for the entire post-war period. A Christian Scientist, a top officer of this organization, recognized the emergency which was being created just before his eyes and the necessity to apply at once the living understanding of divine mind's all action to the situation. He knew, of course, the divine mind is always active, always on the job, always supplying each individual with the intelligence required at the moment. Never ideas in conflict. Unity and diversity, yes. Diversity and unity, but never in conflict. The Christian Scientist knew that retrogression, reversal, countervailing negativism is not the law of God, not the operating law of the Christ. He recalled the many examples in the Bible of how the living understanding of God's all action had affected the trend of public events in the councils of men. He recalled to the words of our dear Master Christ Jesus from Matthew, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So here at this meeting, he knew why the Christ is in the midst of them. The Christ is present at every conference table, the chairman of every conference. No countervailing power can prevail in the presence of the Christ. God always provides divine mind's own intelligent witness.
You are listening to a lecture given by Nathaniel Ridgway White, a member of the Christian Science on KLAC, Metromedia Radio for Los Angeles.
As the Christian Scientist prayed in this way, a businessman, a well-known international business statesman, asked to be heard. The meeting, as I've said, was at the point of adjournment, having taken action which would have reversed all of its work in public policy for its entire existence. Up to now, this gentleman had kept silent. He uttered only 19 words, the masterful words of Christ Jesus from Luke. "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." He took his seat, presented no other argument. The group, of course, sat in stunned silence as the significance of their own retrograde action began to dawn upon each of them. They took a new vote, unanimously reversed their position. The president and his administration accepted the policies as developed, and the Congress put them into force with hardly any change. God's all action cannot be denied in human means and modes of action. It cannot be tabled. It cannot be postponed. It cannot be delayed. It can never be set aside. The Christ prevails in individual consciousness. The Christ prevails in the councils of men, in the White House. It goes through, the Christ goes through closed doors, penetrates the closed, hostile, ignorant, stubborn, resisting, or hating consciousness. The Christ always prevails in the White House, in Downing Street, in Moscow, in Bonn, in Beijing, in the Congress, in the judiciary, in the Parliament, wherever men meet, in Paris, in the United Nations, in Vietnam, in Cairo, in Tel Aviv, in the center of labor management negotiations, on the campus, in the centers of mob violence and protest, in the parks, in the streets, in the marketplace, in the school, in the home. The Christ always prevails in individual consciousness. This gentle nature of the Christ, so tenderly, so specifically taught and explained to each of us by Christ Jesus and in the teachings of Christian Science, means many marvelous things to each of us today. For example, divine mind, individual and own communication to each of you. Love's individual own revelation to each of you as love's own nature, the mind of Christ. Soul's expression and identification of each of you as this lovely nature and mind of the Christ. Do you see that in all of your genuineness, beauty, sincerity, love, normality, health, affluence, well-being, each of you possesses the mind of Christ, the nature of Christ. Each of us can have, must have, the humility to accept from divine love the nature God has given us. Christ Jesus faced down the physical illusion wherever, whenever it confronted him. He challenged recurrent evil whenever it tried to present it itself. To Christ Jesus, human beings were not matter-bound, matter-enclosed, matter-chained, matter-sensitive, matter-tolerating physiques. To him, each individual presented her own, his own, individual wholeness and holiness, beauty, health, normality. Christ Jesus faced down recurrent evil, however, wherever it presented itself, as violent nature, destructive mental disease, paralysis, blindness, deafness, dumbness, death, deterioration of the flesh, chicanery, treachery, infidelity, dishonesty. Christ Jesus faced down the physical illusion that confronted him because he knew it was not real, not from the source of all reality, not from God, not from love, not from divine mind, not from principle, never from soul. Because Christ Jesus understood his source, his resources of being, to be divine mind alone, living principle, he could do these marvelous works among mankind. And this was a law of invariability to his consciousness. And it became a law of invulnerability in his own experience. Why, evil has no law, no foundation, no agency, no identity, no organization, no religion, no personality. Having none of these, evil has no acting power, no evidence, no substance, no presence. Having none of these, evil has absolutely no power, control, authority, over any individual woman or man. In its maximal illusion, the myth of giant nothingness attempting to be something, evil is absolutely nothing without power, control, authority over a single individual. This tough awareness within your own consciousness of divine mind as your mind, divine principle is active in your behalf. Divine love is supplying you now with all you need at this moment is a law of invariability to your consciousness. And as we individually love it, identify with it, and apply it intelligently, it assures us of invulnerability in our experience. I'd like to turn now to another cycle, the cycle of health in the human experience, and consider the case of a most intelligent woman who was afflicted with what had been pronounced as incurable cancer and had been given up in the situation. This woman, as I've said, was most intelligent. She was not given to silly superstitions and fears, but she did accept bitterness, acid rejection of life's joys, boredom, dradness, routine overwork, resentment, which, as I have said, is the feeling again of ancient and very deeply held old hurts. Hatred, frustration with her friends, criticism of her family, especially of her husband, of her friends and others. When the cancer appeared in her life and was pronounced incurable, of course her condition, her discouragement was very deep. But a Christian Science practitioner explained to her every day that beauty is an inherent quality of a son, a daughter of divine love. How could divine love, soul, mind, principle, create anything unlovely, unlike itself? Absolutely impossible. The practitioner explained to her that beauty is not a surface thing, a physical thing, nor a lovely dream. It's an essential characteristic, an essential quality of each one. As this woman learned to value her own being as beautiful, pure, divine, whole and holy. She, of course, learned the joy of moment by moment dwelling participation in divine love, in the all substance of soul every moment in her life. And, of course, she began, as she valued herself, she began to value her friends and relatives and even her husband. The cancers disappeared from her. But this was the least important point in the whole experience, the physical healing. She had learned the inspiration of living moment by moment in divine love, in the source and resources of her individual being. Was not this the cycle of good operating in her own consciousness to obliterate the ugly picture of disease? Mary Baker Eddy's challenge to repetitive evil is made on this profound basis, the simple operating law of the Christ in each life. Mrs. Eddy dared to face the world's hatred of divine love and of love's individual to Christ, of God's individual care for each of us. Mrs. Eddy teaches us the importance of daily, moment-by-moment awareness of divine love's care for ourselves, our friends, our families, but not just for ourselves and our own friends and families, but for every individual of every race, every creed, every land. Mrs. Eddy tells us that Christian Science, well now let's see, what is this? What is Christian Science? The laws of God, individually understood, individually, intelligently applied. She tells us that Christian Science, in its tender, gentle ministry among humankind, is literally aflame with divine love, with the law of the Christ operating in each individual consciousness. This is the strength of the gentle message the discoverer and founder of Christian Science gives to each of us today. Out of a life dedicated, devoted to God. Of course, it had not always been so with Mrs. Eddy. At the age of 44, her life was insecure, her movements restricted, her health bad. All hopes for human happiness had been crushed. Although she'd been reared in a happy childhood, she early lost everything that was humanly dear. Why, love, appearing as it did in her life, was fleeting. She reached a point where the brightness of day, the loveliness of night, even the beauty of flowers seemed to have passed from her experience. In her poignant search for health, she trod the canyons, explored the byways of mortal thought and fear. And as I've said, she dared to face all-powerful materialism and materialism's hatred of divine love and of its individual expression, the Christ in each one, with her own sweet assurance in God's love. And like the Master, Christ Jesus, she faced it down to its ultimate illusion, the myth of giant nothingness attempting to be something. It was at this period in her life, when that life was most near its end, that she read in her Bible of the healing of the man afflicted with the palsy, was healed of her physical difficulty, raised herself from her bed. But this was the least important phase in the whole experience. She was launched on her mission to find out how divine mind heals, governs, controls each of us. What it is to dwell moment by moment in divine love, to touch the mind of Christ, the nature of Christ, as one's very own. And of course, she healed people of all kinds of diseases, physical and mental, and set her findings down in thorough detail in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. Well, now I'd like to turn to another phase of cyclical activity in the human scene, the protest cycle, the strike cycle. When I was the business and financial editor of the Christian Science Monitor, I began to see how we had to publish news of strikes almost every day. It does seem as if labor leaders and business people can rub each other the wrong way without any, almost no provocation. And suddenly these begin to appear in clusters until we have what is a spreading industrial contagion on our hands, until great nations, France, Great Britain, even our own country, become paralyzed practically with general strife. You know, there are Christian scientists in all fields of human activity today. They're very active in the union field, in the management field, in all of the professions. They're everywhere. But I'd like to tell you right now, I wish I could tell you of many cases of how Christian Science, intelligently applied, has settled large destructive strikes. But in some in which I have had to participate, I collected these as cases when I was at the Monitor. But I'll tell you of a brief one because of the time situation. A strike of agricultural workers in the sugarcane fields had long extended itself. Negotiations between the management and the union had ceased. Neither side communicated with the other. Harvest time was near, and unless the cane was harvested, it would be destroyed. A Christian Scientist, this time one affiliated with the sugar company, asked for the help of a Christian Science practitioner in the situation. Together, they knew the divine mind and its idea, each individual, as one spiritual entity, cannot be blocked or resisted or turned aside, stalemated or paralyzed. They knew that ignorant action, stubborn action, retrograde action, hostile action, dogmatic action is not the law of the Christ and has no position in divine mind and its expression, individual man and woman. They knew that there's no inertia in divine mind, no dead center stalemate. When harvest time came, the workers, without any meeting together or any conferences, individually were returned to the vast sugarcane fields and harvested the cane. But the cycle of good did not cease its functioning there. The management, without any further meetings or discussion, granted all adjustments and many more long overdue in the sugarcane fields. Because all things work together well in the cycle of good. God's action always blesses every individual. God's action can never hurt a single one. The cycle of good is just. The cycle of good is impartial. The cycle of good always blesses every individual. Chicanery, dishonesty, treachery, infidelity, these wither away in the cycle of good. A mob in an eastern suburban city last summer was looting, burning, destroying. A Christian Scientist whose path was in the direct way of the oncoming mob became concerned about his timidity in handling the problem in Christian Science. Of course, he should not have been timid about his understanding of God and man, but he did become timid and unafraid and asked for the help of a Christian Science practitioner. When the mob arrived at the property opposite from his and was preparing to break in, loot, and then burn, suddenly a voice sang out strongly in the midst of the mob, "Let's stop this nonsense. It's getting us nowhere." The mob disbanded, and I checked when I came back from Europe last December and found they'd formed their own committee to work among themselves and with the leaders of the community to bring in new job opportunities, job-creating activities, new housing, new schools, new residences, new parks. They were all working together well in bringing about a new, revitalized community. Well, now, what went on here? You know, a Christian Scientist property is not sacred. It's not especially marked. Do not touch Christian Scientist here. God is, the Christian Scientist do not have a monopoly on God, on divine love, on mind itself. Divine mind is the mind of each individual. So what did go on here? Together, these two Christian scientists knew divine mind is on the job now. Divine mind never needs to be told to be active. It's always active, always countervailing all negative, stupid, ignorant, hostile action, violent nature. Divine mind is the mind of each individual. Divine love is the character of each individual. Principle operates with each individual. It takes only a humble, simple recognition by one to know that Christ is in the midst of them as the very nature, the very mind of each and each one. So that's what went on there. The Christian Science Pavilion at a beautiful World Fair was on the last night of the fair in the direct path of a mob which was looting and taking things that seemed to be interesting. The pavilion was dark. There was a worker in the pavilion, and he's a friend of mine, that's how I happen to know about the situation. When the mob came to the pavilion and began to prepare to break its doors and windows and go in and see what was there, suddenly a voice sang out again in the midst of this mob. "Hey, fellows, we can't do this. This is the Christian Science Pavilion." And they disbanded. They ceased all looting for the evening. The entire fair was spared looting for the evening. So what went on there? The Christian scientist said he knew the Christ is in the midst of them, the very nature and mind of each one operating now. God always provides his individual witness. So that's what went on there. Well, now, I've referred to the word soul several times in this lecture. Soul, spelled with a capital S, and is taught and explained in Christian Science as a precise, very precise synonym for God. We hear many references to the word soul these days, usually spelled with a little S, and in emotional variations of deep feeling, joy, sorrow, ecstasy, frustration, disappointment. But soul, as taught, as explained in Christian Science, spelled with a capital S, is the precise foundation of true health, true beauty, true purity. True health, true beauty, true purity are inherent in each one. These are not acquired qualities. They're the gifts of divine love in each human being. True health is not cyclical. True purity is not cyclical. True beauty is not cyclical. These cannot fade, wither away, or in any way diminish. The very essence, the realness, the substance of each individual is this soul expressed and identified being, this soul expressed nature. That marvelous word, substance, from the Latin, that which stands under you, is your very understanding of yourself as soul's expressed identity. Matter, thought, mere physical structure, composition, and appearance, these have nothing to do with soul's son and soul's daughter. Why, matter, thought, has no relation whatever to the expression of soul's identity or individuality. The very essence, realness, substance of your being is this soul-expressed identity. Do you see that in all of your beauty, genuineness, and sincerity, each of you is clearly transparent, clearly transformed, clearly transfigured? I'd like to tell you now of a second woman. This woman, ignorant and superstitious by human measurements, who was healed of a cancer on her face. She earned her living in drudgery, doing work no one else could be obtained to do at night. When the cancer appeared on her face, someone who saw it gave her a copy of the Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the Christian Science textbook, and copies of the Christian Science Sentinel, little weekly magazine which carries authenticated healings of Christian Science, such as I'm discussing with you now. She read these, of course, hungrily. Her sister learned of it and decided to provide her with the help of a Christian Science practitioner. The practitioner spoke to her of God's tender individual love for her. Now, it must have been the first lovely things ever spoken to this woman, certainly in many a year. Within 2 months after this conversation with the practitioner, the cancer dropped off of her face, but her whole life changed because she had learned the inspiration of moment-by-moment participation in divine love. Each of these two women, from different poles of thought, the so-called educated, informed, intelligent pole, and the ignorant and superstitious, accepted with humility the nature, the mind of Christ, which each of us can have and must accept. Each of us can reject hatred. We can reject resentment, this feeling again of ancient and deeply held old hurts. We can reject bitter, acid rejection of life's joys and happiness. We can reject the desire to find happiness or enjoyment in matter where it never can be found. We need not try to drown our troubles. We certainly cannot dope ourselves into inner ecstasy and infinity. We need not try to run for escape from ourselves. We can face ourselves for what we are, the sons, the daughters of divine mind, and live by this correct identification of ourselves. We need not put up with physical or mental disease. We need not put up with any kind of disease. There is no law of incurability. We need not try to bury ourselves under a stack of pills or medical diagnoses. We need not put up with false status, second, third, fourth, fifth class status. We need not accept false status. We can live as what we are, the sons, the daughters of soul. This is to live moment by moment in divine love, in the source and resources of your being under divine principle, with its operating law of the Christ, the cycle of good. In your own experience, blessing everything you do. Thank you all.